Just keep your seats, and when she pulls it up, let's read it together. Dear Lord, it's not okay. It just went out. So, okay, if y'all know it, let's say it. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Hold it. I know y'all want to open you up, but we kind of need to put it in order. Who knows what the first part is? Okay, what's next? Eyes, mind. All right, let's start over. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. Amen. You may open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. This is where we are dealing with our series at this point. I have chosen as the theme for Philippians chapter 3, what matters most? What matters most? This is our second approach in dealing with this chapter. So what I want to quickly do is kind of back up. I'm not going to rehash everything that we have already dealt with, but I think it's important that you keep in mind Paul's approach in this chapter. First of all, I reminded you that now that we're in the new year, that there are certain things that God requires of us to do. We're not just here in this year simply because we crossed over. We got a purpose, okay? And that purpose is that Paul here in this chapter wants us to understand that we as Christians must set some goals. We must properly prioritize. We must stay focused. And as a result of that, I shared with you the reason why Paul made that statement was because in the backdrop of Paul's writings here in Philippians chapter 3, certain things were happening. And that is, Paul was being attacked as it relates to his position as being a Christian, a born-again believer. And what I did was I shared with you some opening facts of chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul acknowledged to us that he wasn't denying what he had once done, okay? He wasn't denying, but it was extremely important and critical for Paul that we understood that he owned his wrongdoing so that he could better explain who he is at this point. And we kind of hung there for a minute, and I shared with you that Paul had an objective, and that objective was that he wanted us to develop the kind of mind that would line up with a Christ-like mind. That was the whole goal. Not so much that we were to ignore or pretend we never been where Paul once was, but what was most important is that we own where we are now. So in Paul's argument in the opening of this chapter, I gave you two important points regarding Paul and his personal relationship with the Lord and in connection with the idea of salvation. And the two things that you should have in your notes is that Paul wanted us to understand that salvation is not by sincerity. In other words, when you connect that, Paul is saying, I was very sincere in all my wrongdoings, but my wrongdoings and what I was doing could not give me salvation. Okay? Then the second thing that you should have in your notes is that Paul lets us know that salvation is not by legalistic righteousness. And in other words, Paul was saying that in the midst of all of his colleagues, the Judaizers and everyone, Paul was off the chain. But in his own personal righteousness, he himself could not obtain righteousness in the eyes of God. So on today, we want to continue based on that groundwork in Philippians chapter 3. And once again, I want us to recognize, now Paul has laid out his ownership of his sinful nature. But he now takes the time to say unto his readers, his hearers, that I need to share with you who I am right now and how I managed to get to the point of where I am. It had nothing to do with my wrongdoing per se, because my wrong could not provide me with what I needed. So Paul here says in essence to his audience, he says, if anybody has the right to boast about their wrong, it ought to be me. It ought to be me. When you check the record, Paul says, I myself did all of these things in you all's eyes, and y'all approved of them. And he turns around and says, but I need you to know now that in doing all of this, nothing worked in my favor. In y'all's favor toward me, it worked. Y'all put me here, but God didn't put me here. My wrongdoing put me here in y'all's eyes. Therefore, I could obtain righteousness. So I want us to slide down now after Paul lays all this out and observe what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He's already said to us in his argument in verses 5 and 6, he wanted us to know some critical things that he had accomplished, but at the same time, it didn't give him what God wanted him to have. Listen to him now in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what he says. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. The first thing I need you to do is to write down the word gain in your notes, because the Greek word gain here in actuality is in the plural form. It's in the plural form. And what he's saying is many gains have been accomplished according to the standards of the Judaizers. Many gains. There were several things that the Judaizers laid before me in honor of me. But notice what Paul says about those gains. That's the key in the verse. He turns around and says, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now remember, I just said gains in the plural, but that word loss in the text is in the singular. You're about to see it in your Bibles. In other words, the various gains are counted as one loss. So what Paul did was put everything together under one umbrella. Okay? Under one umbrella. And he turns around and says, I added all of the stuff that was given to me, I counted loss to Christ. So he puts everything under one lump sum. Got it? Now, Paul used the word in a sense in what we call the Greek perfect tense. And what I mean by that, he is referring then to a completed task in the past. You got me? A completed task in the past. In other words, he looks back on the day he really met the Lord. And the moment he met him, that's when he counted those things loss unto Christ. You got me? But now don't put a period there. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit later why you cannot afford to put a period there. So what Paul is saying is, I suffered loss, but I experienced gain. Got to get it now. I experienced loss, but I accomplished gain. We can park there for a minute. Many of us cannot deal with gain because we got a problem with loss. See, when you let some stuff go, you can gain some things. But you got to cut loose some stuff in order to obtain the gain. Am I making sense to you? Paul then says, I suffered loss that I might find gain. I suffered loss that I might find gain. Once again, you can't hold on to stuff and obtain gain. And the reason why is not so much that there's something wrong with stuff, but stuff can get you. If you ain't careful, you will go after stuff, which can hinder you from gaining what Christ has in store for you. All right, listen to this. If that is the case, in the contrast between loss and gain, I can say this. He stepped out of himself and was brought into Christ. See, a whole lot of people have problems with Christ because they are still in self. Got to understand this now. See, when you become born again, you have a responsibility to let go. You got to lose some stuff in order to gain him to the fullness. Got me? So what Paul is teaching us is that he's saying, I literally stepped out of myself and was brought to Christ. All right. This concept is much better explained in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Listen to this. Jesus says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Watch it now. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So it's dangerous to die rich without Christ. I didn't say it's a sin to be what? That's not what I said. I said it's dangerous to die rich without Christ. For what profit is for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his own soul? So the ultimate question is, how many people are caught between almost losing and close to gaining? You with me? It comes a point that God knows when you lose stuff. He knows what you need. But what's most important, that even if the enemy takes stuff, as long as you got Christ, you got everything. All right. Finally, watch Paul now. Listen to his statement in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what he says. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. I want you to take a look at that statement and look at the prepositional phrase. The prepositional phrase, the key thing, for Christ. Okay? For Christ. In other words, that gives us the reason that Paul is making that statement regarding his radical rejection of self. Why did you do it, Paul? For Christ. Why are you not worried about the stuff you lost? For Christ. Are you with me now? See, that's critical to where we are as believers today. Because many Christians get hung up on stuff. And you can always get some stuff. You can get some things. But it's hard. You ain't heard of too many folk dying and coming back. Talking about, I got another chance to relive. Now, you might have come close to death. Okay? So Paul recognizes the importance. This man that Paul says now exists must receive the righteousness of Christ. He can only say that where change has taken place. Everybody got me? You can't say that you lost something but you gained Christ if you don't have whom? Christ. You got to know without a doubt that you got him. And as long as you know you got him, you can make the same statement Paul made in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Watch the text. One of the great lessons that Paul wants to teach us, that all of us as believers must learn, is that Paul set an example. Wasn't just talking. You got to understand the reality of stuff Paul had maintained. Paul turns around in essence and says, the whole objective is in order that Christ might be glorified in me. So I don't get bent out of shape because I know who the provider is. I know who my way maker is. But what's most important, I know who I am. Whew. You got to be careful because Satan will try you. Satan will try you so that you can find yourself in doubt of who you claim to be. All right. Isaiah helps us out. Okay? Isaiah makes it very, very clear in Isaiah 64 and 6 says, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Are we together? Now, what is Isaiah saying? Isaiah is saying to Paul and to us, no matter what you have attained in life, you can't get righteousness on your own. You can have perfect attendance in church. Got me? You can tithe every Sunday. Everybody hearing me? You can participate in a number of ministries. But what I need you to understand is you can't receive righteousness on your own. And I need to park there a minute just so that people can understand. So often, that's the way a lot of Christians think. They think that they're doing God a favor when they come to church. But we really ought to be up in here, not because of God, but because we need him. I need him. I got to make clear that everybody understands I'm up in here because I need God. The Apostle Paul, listen to Paul, in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, he says he had been going about to establish his own righteousness. And that's what happens to people. That's how we manage to look down on other folk and give praise to what we're doing. Because we honestly think that because we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't lay around, we don't steal, we don't kill, we better than somebody else. Can I really hurt our feelings? There's going to be a whole lot of folk in hell ain't never done none of them things. Because you don't go to heaven because you got a good heart or a good nature. For y'all, listen to this. Listen to this statement. He did not, watch this now, he did not know that he was a worthless, polluted garment of unrighteousness or filthy rags. Paul didn't know that. He didn't know it because in Paul's mind, he allowed leaders to pour into his spirit to kind of get him to thinking, better. He's off the chain. But you don't become holy off attendance. You don't even become holy off of giving. You can only become righteous in the sight of God when you receive his son as your personal Lord and Savior. So Christ then had to do something in the life of Paul for Paul to flip-flop. So that's why in Scripture it talks to us about Paul on the Damascus Road. Now please understand me. Please hear me. Paul had a dramatic experience with God because Paul lived a hellish, loose life. See, some of us, we were not like, we didn't go around killing other Christians. We just parted with folk on the way to hell. Is that right? Everybody hear me? So Paul had to experience a dramatic moment with the Lord in order to convict his spirit. So God didn't just speak to Paul, knock the rascal off, knocked him down. Didn't just knock him down, blinded him. See, so everybody didn't meet the Lord because your car stalled on the railroad track. Got me? No, no. It doesn't mean you were better than Paul. It just meant that the nature of Paul, Paul was hard and cold. Yeah. So it took that Damascus experience for Paul to give us such a statement in Philippians chapter 3. Let me take you to something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Later, Paul said this. Listen. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So until you recognize how you changed, you're in trouble. Paul had to come to grips and realize all the stuff I was doing was wrong. I owned it. Oh, I better change. When I really realized who I was in Christ, when I met him face to face, that's when my language changed. My walk got better. Am I making sense to you? See, the key is many of us haven't had what Paul experienced. We assume, I go to church, and you know I don't smoke. I've had a few beers and a little something to drink, but I don't consider myself as an alcoholic because I just never enjoyed the drinking. Well, I'm not trying to be funny. You're just going to hell and missing out on some taste. That's all. Not to encourage you to taste. The point I'm trying to emphasize that those are things you have come up with. Okay? Things you have come up with. So we've arrived, Sister Paul, at the end of where I want to go, because I notice what's happening outside, okay? And I want to let everybody get a chance to get on home, okay? I know y'all in Chattanooga just fall apart, you know. Mama A, would you mind opening that door for me? Let me look back out, see if it's coming down. So I want you to be able to get home, be safe. Drive safe. Don't panic. Give yourself a little bit of distance with the person in front of you. And it may not be doing nothing. It might be slushy. You know. But get home. Okay? Yeah, you gotta leave here. We don't this ain't Days Inn. No. And I ain't trying to be funny. Yeah, slushy. Yeah. We ain't gonna leave light on for you.